finish a thought, I seem to always go back to this. I always finish a thought that was in my mind with the last Sunday's sermons. You could say the common fraternity talk sometimes become the extended edition of my sermons, but it's helpful for me, and it might be helpful for you as well, to build upon something that we already know, and then to dig a little deeper in that, and then to use that and connect that with Our Lady. I think that's always very helpful wherever possible, to tie in to things that we already know quite well. But for our starting point today, just a reflection on what I'm speaking about last Sunday, I spoke about how we have this wonderful obligation, and more properly speaking, a privilege. It's a privilege of ours to be able to pray for the poor souls in purgatory, to be able to call out to Christ on behalf of those who have gone, before us, and they're in purgatory. That's an obligation, but more properly speaking, a privilege of ours to be able to even do that. So I give that little quote, Lord, lift up from their sufferings, and the whole topic was, it is therefore holy and wholesome thought to pray for them that they may be loosed from their sins. So I briefly in that sermon mentioned purgatory and how it is a punishment, but it's not considered a punishment in the strict sense, in theological terms, as hell is in the same sense, obviously, because hell is eternal, purgatory is not. So there's a difference there. Purgatory is, more properly speaking, a purgation. It's a purifying to obtain heaven, to get rid of those things. So it's not, in the strict sense, in the absolute sense, a permanent punishment, but a purification. But I want to tie this thought in on purgation. I want to tie this in with a familiar quote that comes from The Love of Eternal Wisdom by St. Louis de Montfort. You're probably familiar with it. It's very popular, but it's a very, very good imagery. I think it's very good for us. St. Louis de Montfort, he says this, "He, that is our Lord, he purifies them as gold in the furnace." We're very familiar with that, probably. We've heard it spoken, maybe didn't realize that was St. Louis de Montfort, but that's St. Louis in The Love of Eternal Wisdom. He continues, "And gradually withdraws them from creatures, finally having drawn them and completely detached them from themselves, he unites them to himself with bonds of charity that are stronger than death." And he continues, "He makes them more beautiful and glorious by detaching them from their self-will and all things of the world. He enriches them with the treasures of his wisdom and fills them with his grace and virtues so that they become his worthy temple to live forever in the delight of his divine love." So I think it's very helpful as we go through the month of November and we're devoted to praying for the poor souls, we reflect as well on that. You'd say it's a human quote, it's not scriptural by any means, but people say it a lot, and it's almost common verbiage. We'll say to each other, "I'm doing my purgatory time on earth." We're familiar with that. I'm trying to cut down on my purgatory time. And I think it's more proper, thought about this, I think it's more proper to actually say, I want to undergo my purgation. I'm willing to undergo purgation on earth. I'm allowing myself to go through that purgation on earth. That's the sufferings and trials of life, obviously. But I think it's very helpful to tie the two things in. Something we already know, obviously, of offering up our daily work to become holy, all these things. We already know these things. But to get deeper into it, we many times we look at our lives right now, we can introspect or look within ourselves, we can look within ourselves and say, "Wow, right now in my life I am undergoing purgation. There's no doubt about it, I am undergoing some sort of purgation." And it's very helpful. The proper immediate response of the Catholic should be, "Well, what is God trying to teach me here? What is God trying to root out of me?" Because that's the proper understanding of purgation, is to purify, to remove something that's there. It's an attachment to something, and that something, usually we don't have to get too scientific or theological about it. Usually it's just our attachment to our self-will. God allows that purgation so that we are But I find that St. Louis de Montfort, he's right on par with this, just as he makes everything merit so easily. He takes this concept of how God is purifying us, and he allows the trials and temptations of life to affect us, and that we have to undergo them because we're fallen, we have fallen human nature, and that by undergoing them, we are purified, we achieve sanctity. The same theme comes out in St. Louis de Montfort. He makes it Mary. He almost describes Mary as being like an agent of purification. If you kind of read between the lines, that's what he's saying. He writes this in True Devotion, that she, Mary, will purify your soul, and through her powerful intercession, you will draw closer to the perfection of the life of Jesus Christ. With her help, you will be able to fulfill the will of God more perfectly, and in this way, the purgation that otherwise would be necessary after death will be greatly lessened or even avoided altogether. So, naturally speaking, it's actually really hard for us to imagine and to think about at the same time Mary's her powerful intercession for us. We speak about that a lot, that Mary is a powerful intercessor. She gains us these wonderful graces, and she protects us and all these things. And in the same line, it's hard for us to imagine her as being in union with God's will and allowing us to suffer these horrible purgations. It's hard for us to comprehend that, how that's a grace. It's very difficult because we don't see with the eyes of God. We only see the pain that we experience and the hindrance to our self-will, when we have to realize that God's will is for us to relinquish our self-will and to rely upon Him and His will. And so Our Lady is perfectly connected with God's will. So just as she is, and as many of the popes have hinted at, it's not a defined dogma, but it's Mary, the mediatrix of all grace, that God gives the grace, and Mary dispenses it, or she forms us like little children. That whole concept that many of the popes, including Pope St. Pius X and Pope Pius XII, they've hinted at that same thought. You can take that and apply it the same way to how we're purified. That Mary, she knows that that's, and in fact, the purgation that we undergo is in fact a grace. And that's hard for us to see as we're enduring it. It's easy to step aside and go, okay, now I get it. I overcame that, it made sense. Now I've made this step and I'm advancing towards a greater, deeper love of God. It's easy when we're outside of it, looking from the outside. And while you're experiencing it, you almost lose all sight of that goal. And that's a fascinating thing because it's directly tied to the virtue of faith. If faith is defined as believing without seeing. So we're believing that this is God's will for my soul. This is God's will for the benefit of my soul. Our Lady is connected with that, and she is allowing this, and she is allowing us to foster a grace to flow into my soul if I'm willing to accept it. And so it's believing without seeing. We can't see the reason behind many of the things we experience in life, the trials, the temptations, difficulties in prayer, distractions, those kind of things, and just the general difficulties of life. Those, we can't see the reason behind many of those things, but that's a good thing. Once again, it's hard for us to imagine that that's a good thing because we don't see it as a good thing, but it is a good thing because it forces us to make that act of faith in God. So that's the first big point I want to talk about, is just that in general, Our Lady's connection with the idea of purgation and how that's a grace. But let's go back and solidify this a little more, and let's look at that line again that we mentioned at the beginning that comes from St. Louis de Montfort in his book, The Love of Eternal Wisdom. The quote, once again, "He purifies them as gold in a furnace and gradually withdraws love from creatures, etc." The other English, that's from the French, and it's more specific. The word furnace is more proper there. But in English, sometimes you also see this other word called a crucible. In some English translations of that book, you'll see he purifies them as gold in a crucible, which also means the same thing as what's the furnace? furnace. The furnace is the thing that heats the metal to get it hot and molten so it can be shaped and molded or put into a mold of some sort. That's a crucible. A crucible is that cup-shaped thing that holds the gold. And I thought about this, and it's a very beautiful imagery, and this is not dogmatic by any means. It's more, it's allegory. It's just applying the thing and trying to understand a deeper meaning of what was going on here. That crucible, and if you use that in place of the word furnace, it sounds a lot like the word crucifix, and that is proper because it's from the same Latin derivative, crux, meaning cross. So a crucible is a heat-resistant container that the metal, or in the case of the quote by St. Louis, the gold is put into the crucible, and it's heated, a heat is applied to it, and that crucible has to be made of such a material that it doesn't melt and then melt into the gold and then ruin the whole thing. It has to have a higher melting point, or it has to have a melting point that can withstand the heat compared to the gold. And so if we apply that symbolism, the fire is pretty obvious. That's the trials of life. That's easy. And St. Louis says, we are the gold. That's easy as well. But you can draw a lot of symbolism out of that. So that, why is gold used in that symbolism? Because gold is valuable. If we are the gold, we're not just some other random metal. We are, as we know, bought at a great price. We are the gold. And we have to be purified because there is what they call slag, and metal working slag is the excess stuff that's the impurities that are attached to the metal that you're trying to refine. So were that gold is a precious metal, it's worth purifying, it's worth putting through a purgation because it has the slag, but it's also worth something. So we are the gold, but then what is the symbol of the crucible? What is the crucible? What is that thing that doesn't melt away, and the thing that is, it kind of dawned on me that the crucible could be a symbol of Our Lady, because she's perfectly united to the person who's putting us in there, in the furnace. She's perfectly united to God's will, and she is, as we know, the instrument. She is the God's handmaid, and she is there to help us. She's that vessel of purity that is there to purify us, to help us be purified. Kind of like we're sheltered under the mantle of Our Lady. And so that symbolism, well, very beautiful, it dawned on me as I was thinking about this. But it really drives home that fact that Our Lady is there, once again, to help us through these purgations. It is not a bad thing that we endure purgations. We have to call upon Our Lady in these moments when we endure them, when we recognize that this is not easy, this is something that I have to undergo. What is God trying to teach me? We should immediately, as St. Louis is saying, go to Our Lady with that. Immediately go to Our Lady and she will console us. She might not intercede for us and God won't take that away from us immediately, but she will help see us through it if we are confident in her. And that's the important thing. With the crucible. The crucible, if it was made of a weak material, it's not us. You cannot apply the symbolism of the crucible to us because it was made of, if we were the crucible, it would melt, it would break, and that's with anything. Without God's grace, without Mary's protection, we ultimately fail. So it has to be something higher. It has to be Our Lady holding us in there, allowing us to undergo it, like a mother leading a child to walk for the first time. Imagine a child who is being led to walk the first time, and then in the child's mind, if you take that, the child's mind, why would the child want to walk and be forced to eat on his own? Why if you take in the mind of the child when he could just get those things by himself, but the mother pushes them out and says, you have to grow, and you have to act, and you have to purify yourself, and you have to do things. It's the same thing. And as adults, we have to revert back to that childlike simplicity of now recognizing that now that I can do this, I can't achieve these other things without the grace of God. I have to become, once again, dynamic spiritual child. That's very beautiful symbolism there. So for this month of November and for the confraternity talk, I thought it was very helpful to pray to Our Lady in our purgations and tie that in with the souls of purgatory that we have to pray for, that we're obliged and that we have the privilege of praying for. So we can call upon Our Lady, and she will, just kind of like the symbolism of the crucible, she will not allow us to break or crack, because she is the crucible. She'll hold us in that. She'll be that strength for us. So she will not allow us to break if we hold on to her, if we cling on to Our Lady and really strive to be devoted to her. She will not let